This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're with Caroline Oh here in the evening edition. Now, mention the word childcare to any parent, and 9 out of 10 times, you'll be met with an exasperated response. Whether it's issues of caregivers, education, play, food, or the cost of childcare, it's rarely a situation that ticks all the boxes. To further complicate matters, the Education Ministry announced that they would be implementing a minimum qualification requirement at preschools. Now, beginning in 2017, preschools will be required to hire diploma holders as teachers. To help us break down what that would mean to parents and preschools, I'm speaking with Dr. Chiam Heng King, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council, or the ECCE, as well as Datin P.H. Wong, president of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers Malaysia, or ARCPM. So let's start with an overview of this new regulation. Can you perhaps begin by framing the current scenario for us? You know, the number of centres we have in the country, the number of caregivers perhaps?
I think there's a difference now whether there is the caregivers are actually the one for childcare centres. And the regulation that is the new regulation for preschool teachers to have diploma in early child education as minimum only applies to preschool teachers.
Okay.
That is under the Ministry of Education. Childcare is under the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. So we have two.
Okay.
So in the case of childcare, is for four and below.
Right.
And for the preschool or kindergarten, is 4 to 6.
Right.
So that is the difference between childcare
and preschools.
Preschool.
So obviously there's an important distinction. So when we're talking about preschool, what is that scenario? So number of preschools here in the country, number of teachers in preschools in the country. Do we have those numbers?
It's about 27,000 preschool teachers, and about more than 20,000 of them do not have the diploma in early child education.
So 27,000 roughly, or an approximate, serving how many preschools in the country do we know?
Oh, it is about 7,000. There is private over 7,000, but the Ministry of Education also offered preschool, the Kemas preschool, and so there's the Jabatan Perpaduan dan Integrity Negara. And then on the top of it, you also have, of course, they will consider them as private. You have also the NGOs, the churches that and right. temples, and the Indian community. They offered also preschool.
Yeah.
I think it's very difficult to give you the number. Of course, the ministry would have, because they're registered with the Ministry of Education. But of course, nonetheless, they're also unregistered.
Right.
And the unregistered one is difficult to estimate.
Right. Yeah. Datin, why do we need this new regulation, or do we need this new regulation in your opinion?
Of course, we do need, you know, I think we are trying to make the people look at the early childhood development, care and education sector as a profession. You know, much as in other professions, you know. And so one of the things that will help is, of course, that the people need to have a higher qualifications. At the moment, our prof was talking about the kindergarten side, but the childcare sector itself, we have got roughly about 5,000 childcare centres, about 18,000 childcare providers. And out of that, only about 3,000 have a diploma. And 1,000 plus has a degree. So majority of the care providers do not have the, of course, if you talk about illegal centres, there's even more, I think, in terms of legal.
I would like to answer your question.
Yeah.
Is it necessary to have the regulation? Originally, even the psychologists were promoting the importance of early child education, have the equality. And I think many people do not actually give much credit or believe what the psychologists are saying. And the importance of early child education only come about with the scientific studies of the neuroscience. The research findings of the neuroscience showed that the first 5 years are the most critical years. The foundations are put down. A child is born with 100 billion neurons. And if these neurons depend on the experiences, if they have the appropriate experiences, approach means good experiences, then the neurons will connect and form the correct pathway. If they have bad experiences, like they are hungry, they're not fed, they cry and all that, the neurons would also connect, but it is in a negative way with all the stress, and they can damage the brain development. And because of this finding, everyone now means those that are knowledgeable and more, almost all the country now are investing not only in early child education, that means from when you see 0 to 8 years of age, although in Malaysia it's 0 to 6, yeah. So they're investing in quality. In order to have quality, the childcare providers and the preschool teachers must be knowledgeable, must have the skills to provide the kind of experiences. Experiences means to be able to provide the kind of experience to meet the needs of the child. So sometimes we only think of the physical, but the most important now, the research one, is a social-emotional. So if the child experience where they cry and nobody attend to them, it can result, we are nurturing an emotional monster who can kill without blinking an eyelid. And you can see evidence of it today. And not only that, you will have people with mental problem. So what is very important is that it's very easy for pengasuh, a childcare provider, to do the physical need. But without the kind of training, are they able to meet the social emotional need, which is very fundamental, and it must be laid down in the first 3 years of the child's life. If that is passed, you will have difficulty. You see? Because, so that is that important.
Yeah, if you want to form good habits and all that, it has to start in the early years.
I'm speaking with Dr. Chiam Hing King, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council, as well as Datin P.H. Wong, president of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers Malaysia. We'll be back after these messages. I'm Caroline Oh. Stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Caroline Oh with you on the Evening Edition, and today we're looking into an announcement by the Education Ministry requiring all preschools to hire teachers with a minimum diploma qualification starting next year. Now, considering how this affects preschools, children and their parents, and here with us we have Datuk Dr. Chiam Hing King, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council, and Datin P.H. Wong, president of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers Malaysia. Can I just ask, considering we have so many illegal preschools and childcare centres flourishing here in Malaysia, why? Why is there a need for that? I mean, are the licensed centres ineffective? Are there not enough of them? What is the problem?
Yeah, I think it's a lot got to do with parents' attitudes as well, because for them, especially for childcare, it's always what is most convenient. And of course, they will go... If you talk about illegal centres, they're obviously charging a lot less than the registered ones, because registered ones have to comply with so many things, including licensing and other costs. And so we do find that one of the greatest challenges for us to change is to change mindsets of parents. Like Prof already said earlier about the how critical the early years is, and parents do not just simply drop their kids off at an illegal preschool. If they really care about the development of their child, then they would actually look for a centre. They would look at what is the quality of that centre,
yeah,
or
but
preschool.
I think the thing is, I would imagine that every parent really wants the best for their child, and this issue of convenience and cost is not something new. It's something that we've known for a long time. And so there does seem to be a vacuum in that there's a need for that, but there aren't all these quality childcare centres that are, you know, proliferating in a way that it makes it convenient for a parent, or all parents for that matter.
Yeah. I think why are we having so many, as you say, I wouldn't say so many, there are quite a number. I wouldn't say that it's overwhelming. There are quite a number of childcare centres and preschool that are not registered. There are several factors. One among is that registration of childcare, to get the licence in childcare and preschool in Malaysia, is quite a difficult one. Because, you know, each local government have their own criteria, and sometimes it can be quite difficult, some of them, to meet those criteria. Mm-hmm. Another difficult criteria to meet is that they need to get the permission of the neighbours around. So if they don't get, they cannot get. And then there are also cases of the fees are very high. This is on licensing, you know. But the other one is that it has also to do with historical. Because historically, you know, we didn't start off a childcare and preschool as a profession. It started as for dropouts, for those who cannot. And it's just
custodial care.
This. And because it started like this, many parents have the perception it's okay, you know, you just send it to a babysitter, that kind of perception. What is so difficult of preschool? Anybody can read and can count, can be a preschool teacher, but it's much more than that. You know, now they realize it's much more than that. So it's sort of, it's historical on one aspect, and the other is the licensing problem. And this licensing problem is a problem that we have the task force chaired by the Paduka Chumei Fund. And we have been discussing, but even with the MOE, the Ministry of Education, we have been having this dialogue
for years,
for ages. And we still have the guideline on setting up of childcare and preschool developed by the Ministry of Housing and Local Government. But it's still a guideline. It's not compulsory. You see, Singapore is very easy. The registration is under the Ministry of Education for preschool, is under the Ministry of Family and Social Affairs. So they have a checklist. They just need one agency to inspect and to register. Here, we have three technical bodies. In the case of childcare, the Ministry of Women, Family and Community, you have health, you have the Bomba, and then, of course, the local council. Council. So you have to satisfy four. All these.
And
so it's
really
different
for every local council. It's different. The rules are different.
So are there any movements, or is there any traction in, you know, getting the government to look into, because there's so many moving parts, into actually changing this?
Yeah. Actually, at the end of the day, the legal issue is basically the state and the PBT themselves have to put into their own rules, because actually local councils have their own regulations and all that. So, for example, yesterday, even in Terengganu, we were shocked to find that, you know, they have so many conditions which we never heard of. Health department in Terengganu, and this was only in one area of Terengganu, said that there's a requirement now for the childcare centres to have child-sized sinks and toilets. Mm. So they said, I'm a single-storey terrace corner lot. I only have 10 kids. You know, why should I do this? I mean, kids need to, I mean, it's a home, you know, it's a house environment.
Yes.
And so, and it's to do with infrastructure. So if you have a purpose built, yes, you can build it up. But you can also put a stand for the child to go up to the sink, just like you do at home. So there's a lot of little conditions coming in now, which even the HQ is not aware of. So we are looking into this now. I mean, the task force is looking at it. But I think it requires government will to push for it.
Yeah, but can I just ask, because, you know, one would imagine the purpose of having a local council sort of localize the content that we're talking about is essentially to make sure that it makes sense for every different community, isn't it? Or is that incorrect?
No, if you look at the guidelines from the Ministry of Housing and Local Government, it's been is across the board. Mm. Yeah, it's been agreed.
It can be
implemented. Yeah. It can be simplified. The bureaucracy needs to be cut, you know, because it's so difficult for people to get registered. They rather remain illegal.
Right.
Yeah. So we must facilitate the registration process.
Right. It would be ideal, you know, if you follow the Singapore model or model in ASEAN country. Why do we need so many? Because if you have a checklist, and you have to trust the Ministry of Education, you have to trust the Ministry of Women and Family. If you have the checklist, and the checklist can be right. In the case of safety, draw up by Dombaba. In the case of the infrastructure, draw up by the local government. In the case of health, draw up. So you would have this, and you have an officer which actually is trained to be able to go and inspect and be able to approve or not to approve. And if you have such a checklist, it would be easier too, because what happened is that you can actually go, and this is what is done in Singapore, that if it is a very good one, they give you three, they fulfill like 99%. Right? You can never have 100%. 99%, they give you 3 years. But during that time, they will be inspected.
Hmm.
Yeah? And then those that are about 80 or 70%, they give you 2 years.
Okay. So coming back to the Malaysian situation rather than the Singapore model, does the government keep track of all the centres here in Malaysia? And I'm talking illegal as well as the legal ones.
Yes, in a way, they do. The enforcement authority is JKM, the Department of Social Welfare. But it is challenging for them as well, because there is like one officer in the whole of Petaling. There's probably only one or two officers and a huge area. So one of the challenges is we have promoted for a push for quality standards for private centres as well. But at the moment, we only have Permata Q that is being utilised now for Permata centres.
What is Permata Q, sorry?
It's a quality standard that's been developed for the monitoring of the centres under Permata and of the government centres. Yeah, but for the private centres at the moment, Prof can expand on it. We don't have that quality system in place at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there is what. So what the centres have to do is to comply with the minimum standards in the Childcare Centres Act. So the DCAM officers do have a checklist when they go around to inspect.
Can I just ask what's on that checklist, just roughly? I know you don't have it in front of you, but
yeah, the physical infrastructure, the space requirements, the whether they are complying with the ratio of staff to children. Whether they look at safety, look at security, they look at the menu. There's a lot of confusion at the bottom because the health ministry now requires the menu to be chopped by them.
Right.
So you know, things like that. So it's a lot of little things that makes it difficult for the care provider.
Yeah. And how do you think, just based on your experience, how do you think the majority of the centres would do if the ministries actually had the manpower to send people to go and check all of them? Do you think 80% of them, 50% of them wouldn't be able to tick all the boxes?
In the case of childcare, I'm not sure. But I think in the case of preschool...
Preschools, I meant preschools.
In the case of preschool, because it was already... This thing was actually started some time ago, so they know what are the qualities. So far, last year when they did it, I think 80% meet the minimum qualification.
And we're talking legal ones, legal preschools.
Yes.
So when you say minimum, you're talking...
So far, in the case of the ministry, they haven't... they said minimum, but they really haven't come up with a benchmark yet.
Mm.
It's just... it's a rough kind of... They said that last year they're going to go and develop the benchmarking. And so it's only after they've done the benchmarking, then we can say who has reached band 1, band 2, band 3. Then we'll be able to be more accurate in our assessment.
Right. And so earlier we were talking about just comprehensive age appropriate education for kids, and this new regulation that will be in place starting January. Can you tell us perhaps what the salient points of the syllabus would be? You know, I'm just trying to have an idea of whether or not somebody or a teacher in a preschool will be upskilled tremendously by getting this diploma.
Okay. You see, if they do not have the diploma, majority of them is on the job. They're on the job. And if it is on the job, you can learn the wrong thing, right? But what is very, very important is on the job will not provide you with a sound knowledge of child development. To be a good educator, you must be able to have a real sound knowledge of child development. The second skill which they must have is the skill to observe and to assess. Because what is very important is that the preschool and also in the case also childcare, they may come from different environment. So to prepare them to make sure that they are ready for primary school, you must cannot just provide a curriculum when they don't have the skill. So without this kind of training, you will not be able to observe, to assess and to be able to observe and assess, you must have very good knowledge of the child development. Mm. That's one. The other one is discipline. You see, discipline, if you begin young to do it in the correct way, then you teach the child how to manage the emotion. Mm. Again, on the job may not provide you with the kind of skills.
Yeah.
So often, you find that teacher yell and scream at the kids. And when you yell and they scream at the kids role, you provide a role model. So these children, when they want to get anything, they can't get it, they yell and scream. Because this is how they learn.
Yeah, but those, I would imagine those are basics and people know these things.
No, you'd be surprised. Yeah. You know, majority of them, you will go, they will yell and scream at the kids.
Mm. And they will, it's more like they will teach rather than facilitate.
Right.
You know, in a childcare center, in a preschool, it's learning through play, learning through interesting activities and going in little groups and big groups, smaller groups, you know.
Yeah.
Lots of interactions.
It's an experience.
Correct.
We'll continue our conversation after the news. This is Caroline Oh. Stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
You're back on the Evening Edition. I'm Caroline Oh. And today we're talking about the new requirement announced by the Education Ministry, where preschools are to hire only teachers with a diploma qualification at minimum. Now, I've been speaking with Dato' Dr. Chiam Heng King, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council, and Datin P.H. Wong, president of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers, Malaysia. How is this sitting with the preschools? I mean, what kind of feedback are you receiving? Are they hustling to get their teachers trained or what's going on?
Yes, actually, this is not something that the announcement is made, but it's not sudden. They were a long time ago. Actually, when Mohidin, who was then the Deputy Prime Minister, as well as the Ministry of Education, the Minister of Education, when he came and launched the ECC Council in 2011, the announcement was already made. They didn't sort of implement it at once. It's because they need to work out the logistic.
Hmm.
And there's one case that the principal was telling us that she actually wanted to sponsor her teachers to do the diploma. The teachers were not interested.
Why is that?
Well, I suppose it is going back to school is not something that some people want to do. Maybe that's they have to sit for examination, to do assignment.
Yeah. But do they realize that they'll be out of a job now
some
without it?
Some are so comfortable doing that for 10 years, they've been doing for 10 years, so they don't want to go. And I mean, for the preschools, that's a gradual thing, but the sudden announcement recently by the minister that childcare providers also need a diploma, you know, it has the industry, you know, worrying about it because you look at preschool and taskas, right? Preschools, parents look at it as it's education.
Yes.
But for childcare, why do you need to go and get a diploma?
Yeah.
You know? So it's very different.
So on the parents' point of view, I think one of the biggest worries would be the cost. You know, it does cost a lot depending on the kind of preschool you're sending your child to. And with this regulation, what I'm hearing is people are afraid that that cost would be passed on then to them.
Definitely.
In any situation when you want quality, it have come with a cost, right? And that cannot be denied because the teacher must be paid the commensurate to their ability, the qualification and all that. And if we want children to become citizens of the future with all the skills and so that we're not nurturing emotional monsters, right? If we want to have the quality citizens, we must be being prepared. And this means that the government would need to provide assistance in terms of subsidy for fee. And we actually have worked this out in the NKE lab in 2010. We have already done that. So it's a matter of, I think, looking into how we can help those parents by subsidizing fee.
What is a reasonable window when you talk about good quality, comprehensive childcare?
Depending on the place, but we've worked out minimum, even in the rural areas, the break-even is about 400.
Mm.
Well, I wouldn't
preschool a little bit easier because they have like, you know, 1:25 in a class, but childcare, the ratio of staff is so tight.
Mm-hmm.
But preschool would be about average would be
200. 150 yeah. would be.
150 for preschools?
For rural yeah. areas.
Yeah. For rural areas and urban
or
areas?
Maybe urban areas can go as high as 2,000.
Right.
It depends. You know, you see,
yeah.
Things may not be expensive because you have there's so much of resources in the environment. Sometimes we talk about rural area, there's so much of nature. But now they have what they call nature pedagogy.
Yeah.
That means you can use the nature. There's so much of and it's more meaningful.
Yeah.
So you need not have to buy all the commercial. And I went to Japan, in one of the Japan, it's a very, there's a long list of on the wait list, and they have not even one single commercially produce a product.
So that window is quite, I mean, 150 to 2,000
every ranges. Actually, the average for childcare, we've done this survey nationwide, is about 200 to 300. But in the urban areas, in PJ, for example, you can't charge anything less than 500.
Mm.
You're not going to cover your costs, that's for sure.
You but that is for childcare. It's preschool is preschool much cheaper.
Much cheaper.
Much cheaper.
Right. And so with this introduction of the teachers or the preschool teachers with diplomas, is that likely to go up?
It's likely to go up. Even now, the good preschool, parents are sending their children to this those who can afford and all that. They are already sending. And so they are really quality. And these quality already start to employ graduate teachers, diploma teachers. They've already started. So in the case, it's not that problematic. But what we are thinking is actually maybe in the lower range. But we must also know that the Ministry of Education is providing preschool in the primary school and is free of charge. And then you have the KAMAS, which also provide preschool and very low fee. And in fact, now the last budget was said that they're to be free. And so with Papaduan. Yeah? What we need to emphasize now is that these one that are provided free should be only available, should be only those poor, the B40, will have access to it.
Mm.
So that those who can afford to go to private, you know, and then we also have the NGOs, and you have also community like the Indian community where they're also running a preschool. So even if it increased, even have the diploma, I don't feel that there will be such a jump of 50%, the increase in the fee.
Probably
it's unlikely.
About 20%.
Yeah, so it's unlikely to be that big range.
Okay, so I'm just going to end with this. What are the changes you hope to see, you know, in Malaysian preschools or education centres moving forward?
Of course, moving towards quality is key, and then looking at how both government and not necessarily government but corporate sector as well can invest in early childhood so that it is affordable and accessible to the particularly the middle income and the low income.
Mm.
I think the ones who can afford it's not a problem at all. But the issue now is how do we make it affordable and accessible? Because high quality early childhood matters if we want the nation to progress and we want stable, you know, innovative, creative citizens in the future. So we really need not just the government to invest, but corporate sector as well.
And this is where it begins, right?
Yeah, because you see, the idea is you want well women in the workforce, then somebody's got to take care of the children. Somebody's got to invest in it. And we're asking corporate sector to also do the same and not expect just the government.
Well, I would like all early childhood educators to think themselves as professional.
Mm.
I think it's so critical. You know, you can you can send them for training and diploma, and if they don't consider them as professional, you know, is they will not be effective and good early child educators.
Mm-hmm.
And to be professional, not only, you know, you must be able to promote the image so that parents will be able to see that these formative years are very important. And they have to be professional so that they be able to communicate with parents, to tell the parents certain things that the parents are doing are not quite correct. So they have to have professional, because if they're not professional, parents are not going to listen to them. So I think if we can have early child educators regard themselves as a professional, I think we will have quality. And what is also important is that to be a professional means that if you have a diploma in early child education, it's only the beginning. The continuous professional development has to go on. And so, because new things are coming, you know, new information, new knowledge, so they have to read up.
I mean, telling somebody to think of themselves as a professional is very different from them actually thinking of themselves as professional. What is the best way to encourage that, in your opinion?
The best way is in the training. You must have quality lecturers. You must have quality training program. It is from there they have the sense of pride to see themselves that they are the nation builders. Unfortunately, I'm sad to say that many of the training colleges here, there's so many are mushrooming up because they know that there's so many of them need to be trained and they do not have, I don't think that the quality lecturers. So that's why, although we cannot guarantee, but in order to really set some minimum standard, ECC Council worked with the Malaysian Qualification Agency to develop the program standard. So all training program that colleges want to offer this professional early childhood degree or diploma, we need to comply with program standard.
That was Datuk Dr. Chiam Heng King, founding president of the Early Childhood Care and Education Council, and Dutton P.H. Wong, president of the Association of Registered Childcare Providers Malaysia. If you missed any part of today's program, you can download our podcast on bfm.my. This is Caroline Oh for the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.